Everybody, Malloy here on Nova M Radio. Thank you for tuning in. It's about 7 past the hour. Hope you're going to hang out with us for a while. If you can parallel process MSNBC right now with Judy Woodruff, and I don't know the male interviewer's name, but they are having a Q&A with Barack Obama a few moments ago. They finished up. I think the first hour was with McCain. And I believe this hour is Obama. This is very interesting. And even though it sounds like I'm directing you away from this program, which I'm not, you may want to tune into this on MSNBC. Because the part I heard, the interview with McCain, these are sensible questions being asked by these two interviewers. They are not network news people, anchor people, and therefore the questions are a little bit more coherent and sensible. So you may want to, if you could do both. And it's live. And we are just recorded. No. We're live. We will have some of the Palin interview with Charlie Gibson today, which you make your own decision when we play some of the pieces that we have cut out of that interview. Sarah Palin was reciting what she was very carefully rehearsed and what she very carefully memorized. It sounded to a great extent like my 7-year-old granddaughter reading from a written page. It just did. It was pretty bad. Sarah Palin is an Armageddonist, and I think she sees the Russians as the quickest way to bring about the rapture. This is a psychopath, and I think with enough exposure, maybe Americans will get away from this freak. Fran in Baltimore wrote in, Mike, as you're aware, today is the 7th anniversary of the 9/11 tragedy. In my area, Women in Black had their annual Peace Path Visibility Action, where we stand on a street corner in Baltimore County and Baltimore, the city. I stood alone on a corner where I was visible with my peace flag held high. The response was overwhelming with thumbs up, peace signs, honking of horns, waves, and smiles. Only once did some man in a vehicle put his finger up in the shape of a gun. Also, a biker who went by waved and smiled, then returned to my side of the street to say he was really waving to a car with a McCain sticker on it. And I replied, well, you have a choice. And he said, yes, I do. As I rode home on my scooter, I felt like the simple act of standing with a peace flag on a street corner displayed for many to view made people either respond or take note. Actions, be they simple, do make a difference. Fran in Baltimore. The September, Latin America experienced its own September 11th 35 years ago. And Teal Balve, writing at The Progressive, points it out. It was September 11, 1973, and that's when the Chilean military, supported by the United States military and egged on by the Nixon crime family, overthrew the democratically elected president of Chile, Salvador Allende. And as it turned out, that was a day that was burned into the memories of millions of people across the South American continent in much the same way that the events of September 11th, 2001 were burned into the memories of Americans for sure, but probably most people who were paying attention around the globe. If you remember, some of you weren't even born at the time, but Allende had come to power in 1970. He ran as a democratic socialist. His victory raised hope among Latin Americans that peaceful social change was possible. You have to keep in mind that for the previous 100 years, Central and South America had, and longer than that actually, had been either part of colonial empires or dominated by right-wing fascist organizations that were held in place by, for the most part, U.S. corporations. And the poverty in Central and South America was beyond belief, but it enriched the American corporations that kept the people and the countries in those positions. The election, the democratic election of Salvador Allende, was a signal that things were changing. Well, the Nixon administration and corporate America were not going to stand for that. 3 years later, in 1973, military tanks and fighter jets blasted the presidential palace where Allende had taken refuge. It is part of history, although a lot of people say this is a lie. This is incorporated into history, but allegedly Allende took his own life during the attack. I find that hard to believe, too. And in his place was a U.S.-financed and U.S.-backed 17-year reign of terror. A junta in place led by Augusto Pinochet murdered thousands of people, tortured and detained thousands more, and all of it backed and supported by the United States, unabashedly so. It's been 35 years since that September 11th, and a lot has changed in Latin America. For starters, Chile's current president, her name is Michelle Bachelet, is not only a woman, but she's also a member of Allende's Socialist Party. And the influence and power and dictatorial attitudes of the United States over the politics and economies of Latin America have pretty much been sidelined. We don't have the power. As a matter of fact, we have become the focal point against which governments get put together in South America now. Left-leaning leaders today control almost every country in South America. They're not all cut from the same cloth. Their left-leaning or populist attitudes are different from country to country. But what they, as Tio Balde points out, what they all share is the popular mandate of addressing the needs of the most disadvantaged citizens of Latin America, where nearly half the population of 550 million lives in grinding poverty. Now, they have a way out of this, and that is their natural gas and oil, Bolivia's Evo Morales and Ecuador's Rafael Correa have moved to take a larger share of profits from their nation's oil and gas reserves and then reinvest the money in anti-poverty programs. And, of course, the transnational oil companies, most of whom are based in this country, are screaming bloody murder. But the days of gunboat diplomacy in the United States Marines landing or in a more subtle way, the overthrow of these democratically elected governments, is not going to happen anymore. It's not going to happen. Morales plans to use windfall gas profits in Bolivia, natural gas. And Bolivia, of course, is the poorest country in South America. Morales is in indigenous. He is an Indian, a Bolivian Indian, I believe, so to speak. And he is going to take those profits to strengthen Bolivia's social security system, among other things. The president of Brazil, Luiz Ignacio Lula da Silva, is a former union organizer. He has similar plans for the profits from newly discovered massive oil reserves off the coast of his country. Now, as Tio Balde at the Progressive reports, when Allende tried to make similar reforms in Chile all those years ago, Nixon's national security advisor, Henry Kissinger, famously sneered, quote, "I don't see why we need to stand by and watch a country go communist due to the irresponsibility of its own people," end quote. And the Nixon administration, of course, being the criminal enterprise it was, moved to cut off all multilateral and bilateral foreign aid to Chile, agitated the military to rise up, and fulfilled Nixon's order. Nixon said, make their economy scream. This is how bad it was, and this is how bad it will never be again in South America.
Something up her sleeve. Well, she danced around the barroom and she did the hoochie coo. Yeah, she sang her song all night long, telling me what to do. Blow up your TV, throw away your paper, go to the country, build you a home.
Don't go to bed angry. Let Mike Malloy do it for you on Nova M Radio.
Twenty-one past the hour. The interview with Barack Obama and the one previous with John McCain is also being broadcast on C-SPAN. You may want to watch it there rather than MSNBC. Let's play for you now. If you can do both, if you are listening to some of the Barack Obama Q&A session, let's switch from that kind of rationality to the insanity that was perpetrated on the American public tonight over the course of about 5 or 6 minutes with Uncle Charlie Gibson and the lipstick pig from Alaska, Sarah Palin. As you know, she sat for a heavily edited, pre-recorded interview, nothing live, nothing spontaneous, wherein Charlie Gibson, media whore number one, who agreed to such an arrangement to begin with, and for that he should be recognized for what he is. He's no more of a journalist than a sack of marbles is a journalist, probably less so. And the second part of this crappy so-called sit-down interview with Gibson will be on tomorrow's ABC Nightly News. But we decided to go ahead and play, take some cuts from it, not because Sarah Palin says anything worth noting or reporting, but just so we can all hear the carefully rehearsed back and forth between she and Gibson. And again, if you watched it on ABC's Nightly News, you could see the incredible amount of editing that took place. ABC is as far up McCain's ass as it could possibly get, as is, matter of fact, Ron in Briarwood, New York, wrote about David Gregory today on NBC or MSNBC, maybe it was MSNBC, presenting a piece about the candidate's children who are in the military and did not even mention Beau Biden, Senator Biden's son. Ron says he went on and on about Palin and McCain's, but nothing about Beau Biden. This is outrageous. His bias is becoming so blatant, he should just wear a big button that says, quote, I am firmly implanted up McCain's ass, end quote. So the fact that these two interviews are being conducted on one on C-SPAN and one on MSNBC, it might behoove you to watch it on MSNBC. But let's cut back to ABC today. Charlie Gibson asked Sarah Barracuda about her foreign policy experience. And she points out that she oversaw oil and gas development to produce more gas in Alaska. I don't know how that answered the question, but Gibson says, this is not just reforming a government. This is also running a government on the huge international stage in a very dangerous world. He's referring to being vice president. When I asked John McCain about your national security credentials, he cited the fact that you have commanded the Alaska National Guard and that Alaska is close to Russia. Are those sufficient credentials?
But it is about reform of government, and it's about putting government back on the side of the people. And that has much to do with foreign policy and national security issues. Let me speak specifically about a credential that I do bring to this table, Charlie, and that's with the energy independence that I've been working on for these years as the governor of this state that produces nearly 20% of the U.S. domestic supply of energy, that I worked on as chairman of the Alaska Oil and Gas Conservation Commission, overseeing the oil and gas developments in our state to produce more for the United States.
Oh, and we're close to Russia. Don't forget that. The chairman of the Alaska Oil and Gas Conservation Commission. Charlie Gibson, of course, did not follow up with the question about what that job the duties that were required in that position. And as far as overseeing the oil and gas development in our state, correct me if I'm wrong, but hasn't oil and gas development in the state of Alaska been going on for a couple of decades since Sarah Palin was a 20-year-old beauty contestant, I think. I could be wrong there. But I think that's the case. We have a couple more that we're going to play for you right after the break. So stick around for that. Caribou Barbie being interviewed by Charlie Gibson. And again, as we get a little bit further into some of these sound bites, I think you'll be able to clearly discern Caribou Barbie very carefully repeating what has been drilled into her head. Remember, the McCain campaign had sit-downs with her, intense sit-downs over the past couple of weeks since her selection by the Christian coalition-type religious Nazis to be his running mate, in order to fill her head with the answers that would be necessary for a scripted, edited interview. It'll be curious to see if she can remember what she has memorized when she's on a stage with Joe Biden. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
That luxury jet was over the top. I put it on eBay.
It's about 25 before the hour. Back to the ridiculous back and forth between Charles Gibson, or as he's known now, to Sarah Palin, Charlie, on ABC tonight, a scripted, edited Q&A session. Gibson asks Caribou Barbie if she'd ever met any foreign heads of state. Not a snowmobile champ or a big oil lobbyist, but an actual foreign leader. Gibson says, have you ever met a foreign head of state? I'm talking about somebody who's a head of state. You know, a head of state. Have you ever met a head of state who can negotiate for that country? Ever met one?
I think if you go back in history and if you ask that question of many vice presidents, they may have the same answer that I just gave you. But Charlie, again, we got to remember what the desire is in this nation at this time. It is for no more politics as usual and somebody's big fat resume maybe that shows decades and decades in that Washington establishment where, yeah, they've had opportunity to meet heads of state.
Oh, good God. Oh, what a wonderful answer. We left off the part where she says, I have not. And I think if you go back in history And if you ask that question of many vice presidents, they may have the same answer I just gave you. Well, the last thing we want as a nation, apparently somebody with actual experience, just say no to somebody's well-qualified resume. And, you know, we want a hockey mom who doesn't know which century the Pledge of Allegiance was written in, or how Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae are organized, or even what they are. That's what we want. But somebody who knows that war and death and destruction and murder and mayhem and blown to pieces children is all the will of God. So since Palin is an expert on Russia, you know, she lives closer to Russia than she does, what, San Francisco? Or closer to Russia than she does Seattle, I guess. What would she do, Charlie wants to know, to ameliorate the Russian-Georgian conflict? Looks like she'd go to war. Well, of course, because this is the Armageddon thing, the Gog and Magog, the Revelation thing, the great getting up morning when all the Jews who don't convert will be slaughtered, when Jesus will be so pleased with all the murder and mayhem that he will slip and slide his way down the heap of bloody bodies and establish his kingdom on earth, right? Isn't that what they believe? Gibson says, let me ask you about some special or specific national security situations. Let's start because we're near Russia. Let's start with Russia and Georgia. The Bush administration has said we've got to maintain the territorial integrity of Georgia. Do you believe the United States should try to restore Georgian sovereignty over South Ossetia and Abkhazia?
First off, we're going to continue good relations with Saakashvili there. I was able to speak with him the other day and giving him my commitment as John McCain's running mate that we will be committed to Georgia. And we've got to keep an eye on Russia. For Russia to have exerted such pressure in terms of invading a smaller democratic country unprovoked is unacceptable, and we have to keep...
You believe unprovoked?
I do believe unprovoked, and we have got to keep our eyes on Russia under the leadership there.
What insight into Russian actions, particularly in the last couple of weeks, does the proximity of the state give you?
They're our next-door neighbors, and you can actually see Russia from land here in Alaska.
Favor putting Georgia and Ukraine into NATO?
Ukraine, definitely, yes. Yes, and Georgia. Putin thinks otherwise. Obviously, he thinks otherwise.
And under the NATO treaty, wouldn't we then have to go to war if Russia went into Georgia?
Perhaps so.
Perhaps so. I mean, goddamn. So what? Gee, Charlie, you sure are a dumbass. Perhaps so. Do you know what war with Russia means? Well, you know, you can see Russia from over here. Aren't you blown away by her foreign policy qualifications? Under the NATO treaty, wouldn't we then have to go to war if Russia went into Georgia? Perhaps so. But, you know, we're doing God's will, and God wants everybody to evaporate. Their bones and blood and sinews and muscles to peel off their bodies as a result of nuclear war and radiation and stuff. You know, unprovoked. Russia went into Georgia unprovoked. What would happen? Let me just give you, for instance, let's pick on poor Mexico again. Jesus, I hate to pick on Mexico, but let's do it anyway. Let's supposing just south of San Diego, across the border, there's a huge American population. Huge American population. Maybe, oh, I don't know. Pick a number. 30,000 Americans living in a town called Americaville. And the Mexican government decides, we're going to invade Americaville. And they do. And 3,000, 4,000, 5,000, 6,000 Americans are slaughtered. What would be the response of the United States government? Bingo! You're right! A full-scale invasion of Mexico. How far would we go? Bingo! You're right! All the way to Mexico City and wouldn't stop until we installed, oh, I don't know, Henry Kissinger as the Governor General of Mexico. You get the point. Under the NATO treaty, wouldn't we then have to go to war if Russia went into Georgia? Perhaps so! Now, Sarah doesn't know what the Bush Doctrine is, you know, preemptive strikes and attacking another country if we think or have some of our really, really reliable intelligence that leads us to think that there might be something going on there that may possibly, perhaps, be a threat to our sovereignty? No. Safety? No. Security? No. What then? Our ability to get their oil. Ah, okay. Here's Charlie Gibson again about the Bush Doctrine.
Do you agree with the Bush Doctrine?
In what respect, Charlie?
The Bush, well, what do you interpret it to be?
His worldview?
No, the Bush Doctrine, enunciated September 2002, before the Iraq War.
I believe that what President Bush has attempted to do is rid this world of Islamic extremism.
Wrong
terrorists
answer.
Who are hell-bent on destroying our nation. There have been blunders along the way, though. There have been mistakes made. And with new leadership, and that's the beauty of American elections, of course, and democracy, is with new leadership comes opportunity to do things better.
The Bush Doctrine, as I understand it, is that we have the right of anticipatory self-defense, that we have the right to a preemptive strike against any other country that we think is going to attack us. Do you agree with that?
Charlie, I believe that America has to exercise all options in order to stop the terrorists who are hell-bent on destroying America.
Oh, my God, do whatever it takes, even though I have no idea what we're talking about here. But, you hear the scripted answers? Do you hear the Rovian influence? Do you hear it?
I don't think that one was scripted, because I really don't think that she would have allowed him to ask her a question that she totally didn't understand. Do you agree with the Bush Doctrine? Well, in what respect, Charlie?
No. What I meant was her answer is a non-answer to the question. I believe that what President Bush has attempted to do is rid the world of Islamic extremism, because the next question down, her next answer, I believe that America has to exercise all options. That's what I mean about having rehearsed everything. They have drilled into her head her fallback answers. On Caribou Barbie's scary words about God's plan to wage holy war in Iraq, or any place, Iran, doesn't matter. Gibson says, you said recently in your old church, our national leaders are sending U.S. soldiers on a task that is from God. You went on and said, there is a plan, and it is God's plan. Are we fighting a holy war?
I believe that there is a plan for this world, and that plan for this world is for good. I believe that there is great hope and great potential for every country to be able to live and be protected with inalienable rights that I believe are God-given, Charlie. And I believe that those are the rights to life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness. That, in my worldview, is the grand plan.
But then are you sending your son on a task that is from God?
I don't know if the task is from God, Charlie. What I know is that my son has made a decision. I am so proud of his independent and strong decision.
Go in the military or go to prison.
What he decided to do in serving for the right reasons.
Yeah.
In serving something greater than self. And not choosing a real easy path where he could be more comfortable and certainly safer.
Wow, way to back off from your psycho, crazy, religious, wacko talk there, lizard lips. Are you sending your son on a task that is from God? I don't know if the task is from God, Charlie, but that's what you said in your snake-handling church. You said it was a task from God. You're not flip-flopping, are you, snake lips? What is it then? A task from Satan? Yeah. God and Satan and, I don't know, Gabriel and the Archangel Michael. He's probably involved in there too. And great herds and choruses of angels as they swoop to and fro, slaughtering and blessing and protecting the little children. Oh, it's so difficult keeping all this straight, isn't it, Sarah?
Our salvation, and every war we wage is in his name. We think his Bible should be taught in every nation, and we'll bomb anyone who doesn't feel the same. Welcome to Jesus' land. where we all love thy neighbor if thy neighbors understand. We won't let too many Mexicans across the Rio Grande. Welcome to Jesus Land.
What comes from this church, I think, has great destiny. You guys are all a bunch of cool-looking Christians also. I just want to bless you.
It's about 10 before the hour. Dave in New York City wants to know, how exactly does somebody only running for a federal office with no actual connection to our State Department get to pick up the phone and talk to the president of Georgia as Caribou Barbie said she did? David says, is it just possible that, oh, maybe her running mate is so in bed with Georgia already that it's easy to bypass both standard political practice and possibly international law? Could be, David. All right. McCain was interviewed, was it today? I'm not sure, by Rob Caldwell of WCSH Television in Portland, Oregon, I believe, not Portland, Maine. Oh, it's Portland, Maine. It is Portland, Maine. Okay, WCSH in Portland, Maine. And tries to push McCain on Palin's national security credentials because, you know, well, she is a heartbeat, as they say, away from the presidency. Listen to this.
What credentials does Governor Palin have in national security, diplomacy, foreign policy that qualify her to be your partner in that, on that issue, the fight against Islamist extremism?
Well, obviously the economy is also a major challenge.
Well, no, I'm using your words, yeah, Senator, sure. McCain. You have said this summer that the number one challenge of our time Islamist extremism.
I said the greatest challenge of our time as national security threats, and I've also said the jobs and the economy are the number one issue facing America. So, but the point is that Governor Palin was right on the issues. She understands energy, which is one of the fundamental issues of our nation's security. She was responsible for a $40 billion pipeline that's going to bring natural gas to the lower 48.
No.
She was right on Iraq. Senator Obama was wrong. She has more experience than Senator Obama does. She was right on Russia. He was wrong, as he made moral equivalency between Russia and Georgia at the time Russia attacked. He said that she was right on Iran when he's been wrong on Iran. She doesn't want to sit down and face-to-face negotiations with Ahmadinejad or the other leader. She's right on foreign policy. Senator Obama is wrong. And she, I'm sure, has the experience and the judgment necessary to lead this country, and I'm confident the American people will agree with her as well.
Well, you say you're sure she has experience, but again, I'm just asking for an example.
Sure.
What experience
sure.
does she have in the field of national security?
Energy. She knows more about energy than probably anyone else in the United States of America. She is the governor of the state that 20% of America's energy supply comes from there. And we all know that energy is a critical and vital national security issue. We've got to stop sending $700 billion of American money to countries that don't like us very much.
Yeah,
She's very well versed on that issue.
Yeah.
And she happens to also represent be governor of a state that's right next to Russia. She understands Russia and their newly aggressive behavior in the world, which is also something we have to be very concerned about.
Yeah, okay. So she's responsible for a $50 billion pipeline. That's what she said at the Republican convention last week. She was telling the audience here how she had engineered the deal that jump-started this pipeline project. It stretches more than 1,700 miles, and if it is ever built, it'll deliver natural gas from the North Slope of Alaska to the lower 48. How to say this? All right. The pipeline exists only on paper. The first section has not been laid. Federal approvals for this thing are years away. And the pipeline will not be completed until 2018. The pipeline. Forget the drilling. The pipeline. And it might never be built. And if it's not, under a worst-case scenario, according to the New York Times, the state of Alaska could lose up to $500 million it committed to defray regulatory and other costs. Now, contributing to this project's uncertainty is Sarah Palin's weird relationship with the major oil companies that control the untapped gas reserves. So John McCain has her responsible for a $50 billion pipeline that hasn't even gotten off the paper yet.
But my favorite part is he said that she knows more about energy than anybody else in America. I wonder if the folks at the Particle Accelerator Lab heard that, because
yeah.
I think we need to call some scientists and ask their opinion if they believe that Governor Sarah Barracuda knows more about energy than anyone.
Yeah, well, it's the lies from this gruesome twosome, McCain and Palin, the lies just don't stop. Jesus Christ. There is not even an effort to be truthful. Not even given the finger to the truth. Not even acknowledging that the truth is lurking over there in the shadows, mortally wounded by the gruesome twosome. It's incredible. And the American public?
Oh, I like her. She's a lot like me. She's a tough broad, just like I am. I am a middle-class woman who is without health insurance. My husband's about to be fired. He's working as a contractor, believe it or not, because they took his regular job away. We don't know about our mortgage payments, but you know I like Sarah Palin. She's a lot like me. I mean, anybody can have a pregnant teenager. I like her.
Oh, my God. As a matter of fact, I'll share a conversation about that very topic that Jen emailed into me today. Stick around. We'll do that after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio. About 7 past the hour. Before I share with you this email from Jen about how Caribou Barbie is attracting so many female voters who just completely understand that she's their man, so to speak, there's this. This just came to our attention. It is from Caracas, Venezuela, and it's from the Associated Press. 23 minutes ago, I don't know if the latest rewrite was 23 minutes ago, or the story is coming out 23 minutes ago, but here it is. President Hugo Chavez has ordered the U.S. ambassador to leave Venezuela in 72 hours. And said he, Chavez, is immediately withdrawing his ambassador from Washington. Now, normally that kind of thing happens right before declaration of war, but you never know with the Bush crime family what the hell is going on. Chavez said tonight, so I guess it was 23 minutes ago, Chavez said tonight that U.S. Ambassador Patrick Duddy is no longer welcome. Bolivia expelled the American envoy from La Paz yesterday. Chavez said they're trying to do here what they were doing in Bolivia, and that is a plot to oust, is it Morales in Bolivia? And, of course, we've been trying, not we, but the Bush crime family has been trying to overthrow and or murder Chavez for about 5 years now, just like they did with Allende 35 years ago. In a televised rally, Chavez said, "That's enough blank from you Yankees," only he didn't say blank, he used the word. I guess you can do that on Venezuelan television. "That's enough blank from you Yankees." He said that Venezuela's ambassador to Washington, Bernardo Alvarez, would return to the United States, quote, "when there's a new government in the United States," end quote. And as the AP reports, the move by Chavez brings relations with Washington to a new low and raises questions about whether the diplomatic clash could hurt trade. Now, you know what kind of trade we're talking about here. Venezuela is the fourth largest oil supplier to the U.S. And Chavez has threatened to cut off, he threatened today to cut off crude shipments, quote, "if there's any aggression against Venezuela," end quote. Well, that seems fair enough to me, doesn't it to you, Truth Seeker? If we're trying to overthrow a freely elected government that, again, trying to overthrow it, as we did, we've tried two or three times to murder, assassinate, overthrow the government of Venezuela. I can imagine that Chavez has had about a goddamn enough, don't you think, huh? Just like Allende, only Allende never had a chance. He, you know, committed suicide. This is going on and on and on, and we wonder why the world hates us. Oh, for Christ's sake! Chavez appeared to leave the door open for restoring full diplomatic relations once Bush is gone. He said, quote, "hopefully sooner or later, the U.S. will have a government that respects the people and the governments of Latin America," end quote. You think? Last month, Chavez warned that Ambassador Duddy would soon be packing his bags because this thug was whining and bitching that U.S. and Venezuelan officials had not been cooperating in the war on drugs. Yeah, it's a war on drugs. It's always the war on drugs. Well, the war on terror. No, the war on drugs down here. There's no terror down here. It's the war on drugs. And these goddamn brown people are not cooperating with us. How do we cooperate with you? Give us your oil. Oh, then we're cooperating. Yes. Not cooperating in the war on drugs. Aren't you tired of this? Chavez announced the decision to toss Duddy out on his ass hours after saying his government had detained a group of alleged conspirators in the plot to overthrow him. He accused the group of current and former military officers of trying to assassinate him with backing from the U.S.
U.S. officials have repeatedly denied Chavez's accusations of backing plots against him. What, us? Oh, no, 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 no. We would never do that. We've never done that. We didn't do it in the Dominican Republic. We didn't do it in Panama. We didn't do it in Iran. We didn't do it in South Vietnam. We didn't do it in Venezuela. We didn't do it in Chile. We didn't do it in the Philippines. I mean, the list of countries where we didn't do that, it just goes on and on and on and on. No, you see, the only people who are monumentally ignorant of our overthrowing, destabilizing, bringing down, or murdering other governments is us, the American people. We're the ones that are ignorant. The people in these countries know full well what we've done. And that's why they hate us, not because we buy houses with subprime mortgages and try to rip to pieces the international monetary system. No, 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 no.
It's because we try to either destabilize, overthrow, or otherwise undermine their governments, or murder their leaders, assassinate them, take over their economies, install right-wing dictators who will give corporate America anything and everything it wants, and the people of these countries can go pound sand up each other's ass because it doesn't matter about them. Not to corporate America, it doesn't. It matters a lot to the people in these countries. And they're tired of packing sand in each other's asses. So they've decided, no, that's it. Oh, one last thing. As the AP reports it, tensions between Venezuela and the U.S. grew this week after two Russian strategic bombers were deployed to the country at Chavez's invitation. Strategic bombers. Do you know what a strategic bomber is? We have a bunch of them. We use them in the event that we have to deliver thermonuclear devices somewhere around the Earth. So at Chavez's invitation, the Russian Air Force has provided two strategic bombers. Chavez said, quote, "The presence of those Russian planes in Venezuela is a warning. There's nothing better to keep yourself from being attacked than to dissuade," end quote. I would imagine that two Russian strategic bombers in Venezuela, is dissuasion of the highest order. Chavez added that behind the conspiracy to overthrow him were, quote, "the same coup plotters," end quote, "who masterminded the failed 2002 coup, which he blamed on the Bush administration." Well, yes. Chavez ordered an investigation of this latest plot, which he said involved an active vice admiral and other former military officers. He said his intelligence services had been, quote, "following this for some time," end quote. Military prosecutors were questioning several officers about their alleged involvement. Defense Minister General Gustavo Rangel Briceño said Chavez's ally Mario Silva, who hosts a program on state television, first played recordings of the purported coup plotters' phone conversations late yesterday. In one, a voice identified as an ex-officer said, "We're going to take the presidential palace." In another, a voice identified as retired Air Force General Eduardo Baez Torrealba said, quote, "There's a pilot who has 1,000 hours in an F-16. Allegedly, he would be used in the plot. Chavez said the authorities had known for some time that the conspirators were, quote, "looking for ground-to-air missiles to try to blow up the presidential plane or bomb the presidential palace with a plane." Oh, well, this is just the ramblings of a mad commie. And yet, 35 years ago today, in Santiago, Chile, the government of Salvador Allende, freely elected by the Chilean people, was overthrown and he was suicided. And for the next 17 years, a reign of terror in that country, backed, supported, funded, organized, all of it, by the Nixon-Kissinger corporate America crime family. This gets tiresome, doesn't it? Doesn't this get tiresome? Huh? Don't you wish you'd never heard of this program? Because, you know, we go through this every night, don't we? It just gets tiresome. And you know, nobody likes to hear about this stuff. This reminds me of what I heard about when I first started hearing about the death camps in Germany and Poland during World War II. I couldn't believe it. No, that can't be. That's too evil. When I started hearing about U.S. involvement in Central America and South America, starting in the 1800s up until, yesterday, I couldn't believe it. No, we don't do that. We didn't do that, did we? We'll be right back.
Vaya con Dios, my darling. Vaya con Dios. My love. Now the village mission bells
are softly ringing. If you listen with your heart, you'll hear them sing.
I love the story of Pedro Pan.
Vaya con Dios, my darling.
As a deterrent, I'm interested in having an arsenal at my disposal.
Well, you may need it, Chucklenuts, or somebody may need it, because according to Debka File, Debka.com, I've told you about this website before. It's based in, I believe, Tel Aviv. It is run by a father and daughter, either one or both of whom were former Mossad, if you were ever really former Mossad. And one of them, or perhaps both, were officers in the Israeli military. They now run this Debka File website from their home. And their slogan is, "We start where the media stop." They are the ones who originally reported that these two Russian bombers had landed in Venezuela. And they're also reporting that a nuclear battle cruiser, Russian, is on its way to Venezuela. Listen to this. Debka files military sources first disclosed on September 9th that the nuclear maritime reconnaissance anti-submarine warfare turboprop, a Tu-142, which can fly 6,500 kilometers, in other words, from Venezuela to the U.S. coast, will also be based at a Venezuelan military airfield. Caracas announced also that four Russian ships with almost 1,000 sailors aboard would join the Venezuelan Navy for maneuvers on November 10th through the 14th. Like the Russian air contingent, the Russian flotilla is also bigger and more formidable than Russian and Venezuelan spokesmen have indicated. According to Debka File's military sources, the Russian flotilla consists of 6 to 8 vessels led by the Kirov-class Peter the Great nuclear-powered heavy missile cruiser, one of the largest warships in the world, which is designed to guard the rest of the group against submarine and/or air attack. It, the Peter the Great, is armed with Granit long-range anti-ship missile system consisting of 20 missiles. If the lead missile is intercepted, one of the others moves into the lead role. The Peter the Great is also equipped with 40 S-300F air defense missiles. Other ships in the Russian flotilla are the Admiral Chabanenko, the Russian Navy's most advanced guided missile anti-submarine battleship, and the guided missile nuclear and the nuclear missile cruiser Peter Velikiy. They are escorted by 5 smaller warships and a fuel vessel. Debka files military experts deduce from the makeup of the Russian group that while it is being presented as primarily defensive, in fact, it is the core infrastructure of an important Russian air and fleet presence for shielding a potential assault deployment in the event of a Kremlin decision to base one in Venezuela. How to lose friends and alienate people, huh? George W. Bush, you son of a bitch. And now Sarah Palin, Lizard Lips, she's ready to rock and roll. She knows about Russia. Look out the window there. See that over there? That's Russia. They want nuclear war. There is not a dominionist, Armageddonist Christian who doesn't. Nuclear bombs is a gift from the baby Jesus. They are to be used in the fight against evil, which is everybody but them, so that their Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus, will be so happy to see millions of bloodied, burned corpses. He will slip and slide his way down the heap and bring peace and love to the planet.
Part in doing things like working really, really hard to get a natural gas pipeline, about a $30 billion project.
Twenty-five before the hour, she knows more about energy than anyone in America. Now, as far as Chavez is concerned, and the Russians moving apparently a third of their military there, because the Russians have had a bit of a difficult time with a deteriorating military when the Soviet Union collapsed. Of course, it's coming back, and it's coming back with a vengeance. But along those lines, Pakistan is very pissed off. You may have seen this in the New York Times today. The fact that Bush secretly approved orders a couple of months ago allowing U.S. military to carry out assaults inside Pakistan, not only without approval from the Pakistan government, but without even notifying them. Huh? How about that? Sovereignty? What sovereignty? As Reuters reports, the disclosure is certain to further anger Pakistan's military, whose army chief said yesterday that Pakistan would not allow foreign troops to conduct operations on its soil. Well, why not? It's just about the war on terror, that's all. Son of a bitch, there are no borders or boundaries. What are you talking about? Can you imagine if the Pakistanis decided that there were a couple of Al-Qaeda terror cells operating in Dearborn, Michigan, and decided to land Pakistan commandos on the shores of Lake Erie and move into downtown Detroit and then into Dearborn to get... Can you imagine? Huh? Right? The day that happens, they'll be given drinks of ice water in hell. But by the same token, if George W. Bush wants to invade some place? Okay. It's part of the war on terror. So, therefore, it's okay. Yeah, the American view, you see, is that Pakistan lacks the will or the ability to fight all those Al-Qaeda worms and weasels and cockroaches that are running around in the so-called tribal areas between Pakistan and Afghanistan, not between, but adjacent to both of the countries, part in this country, part in that country. Who knows? Have you all looked at a topographical map of that part of the world? How do they know where the border is? A senior U.S. official who spoke to the New York Times on condition of anonymity said, quote, "The situation in the tribal areas is not tolerable. We have to be more assertive. Orders have been issued," end quote. The orders reflect concern about, you know, the safe havens for Al-Qaeda and the Taliban inside Pakistan. The Pakistan Army Chief General Ashfaq Kayani said in a statement yesterday, quote, "The sovereignty and territorial integrity of the country will be defended at all cost, and no external force is allowed to conduct operations inside Pakistan." He went on to say, "There is no question of any agreement or understanding with the coalition forces whereby they are allowed to conduct operations on our side of the border," end quote. It just doesn't stop, does it? And Sarah Palin?
Sarah Palin.
Well, I know about the Russians. You see over there? Look out the window. You see that over there? That's Russia. And I know about Russia. They invaded Georgia. Hey, Mike. How are you doing today? If I may, I have had an interesting day off. I went shopping for a gift for my husband for anniversary and was basically hoping to escape the whole 9/11 thing. I know I must be a bad American because I am in the line of thinking that 9/11 has become nothing more than a scam. I mean, I'm sorry for the lives that day, and I mean no disrespect to anyone who may have lost someone that day, but all the events and programs that have happened during the past 7 years do not, in my mind, show respect or echo the loss those families felt that day, but have, in a sense, become some sort of nationwide religious day in which we worship the mighty Republican Party so that they may protect us from the evil devil Osama bin Laden. In my humble opinion, Keith Olbermann didn't go far enough last night when he spoke about 9/11 TM. The fact is, it has now become a religion in this country for those who are too lazy to read a newspaper or take time out of playing some sort of online game to surf the web for some information. But I digress. I was in a national bookstore chain and overheard two women speaking about politics. They firmly believe that Palin is being kept from the media to protect her because the media would not treat her fairly. I became angry and asked, if Palin by chance becomes vice president, will she then be kept from world leaders who might speak unkind words to her? What if McCain dies in office? Will we have a White House that keeps Palin from doing the duties as president to protect her from unfairness? One woman just looked at me and said, well, let's face it, Obama can't be president because he's a Kenyan. I'm surprised he hasn't been thrown in jail already for trying to run for president. I dropped the books I was holding. Barack Obama is an American, I said. He was born in Hawaii. Since when did Hawaii stop being a state? The day and minute Obama was born? But his father is Kenyan, so that makes it illegal for him to run. No, it doesn't. I was glad I had dropped my books because I think I would have thrown one of them at the woman's head, hoping to knock off the stupid logic she was speaking. In civics class, you see, it was taught that a child born to an American citizen or on American soil are considered American citizens. Well, maybe that rule should be reexamined. It's clear that some people are too stupid to be allowed to vote or talk politics. And then she went on to say, besides, he's not a Christian, which is another reason why it's wrong for Obama to still be considered as presidential material, because when the Constitution was written, it was stated the president had to be Christian. He was reared as a Christian, I said. I made sure to use reared because I was taught one time that it was the proper usage. And for that matter, the founding fathers did not state a person had to be a Christian to become president. They became annoyed at that point and changed the subject. But you as a woman should be voting for a woman to be vice president. I will gladly vote for a woman to be vice president or even president when there is a woman who shows me she understands the needs of the American people and will not use one-liners such as Palin has. So what? She is a hockey mom. That doesn't mean anything when it comes to sitting down in a room with a foreign leader to talk about a peace agreement or prove to me that she has the balance presidents need to be angry about a situation, but not strike without thinking, as I have seen soccer moms, hockey moms, and even football moms do sometimes when a ruling goes against their child. You're one of those liberals who want God out of everything, don't you? the second woman finally hissed at me. No, I answered, I'm a woman who isn't going to use God as a crutch. There should be a balance. I would defend a person's right to believe as he or she wishes, but I will be damned if I'm going to allow one person to cram their religious beliefs down my throat, like Palin would do to our country. Most politicians use God and other ideas as a way to keep the voting population from knowing their true views. The woman just stared at me for a moment, and I can tell they wanted to say something, but either they couldn't think or were afraid to say anything more and just walked away in silence. I guess I'm telling you this story because in my mind this little event just proved to me how frightening this upcoming election is going to be. 55 days, and no one wants to do a little research for themselves, and everyone who might give a non-Republican side to the debates has been kicked out of the newscaster seats, so any hope for some sort of fairness is out the door. Anyway, thanks for letting me ramble. And if you happen to email Prairie 2 tonight, thank him for his little story last night, because I had a nightmare of Palin being president, and she was sending all liberal, free-thinking, non-Christian-thinking women to re-education camps or killing them on the spot. All my best, Jen. I certainly respect people who will strike up a conversation with somebody in a bookstore and take a very vocal position that Palin is a moron or that Bush is a criminal. I've learned here in Georgia, where it is now legal to carry a gun, and it is a defensible, how do you say this? It is a line of defense if you are arrested that you shot someone on the street or in a bookstore because you felt threatened. That is an acceptable defense now. Well, Your Honor, I don't know why I'm on trial. Son of a bitch was a liberal, and he was telling me that Palin was insane, and I thought he was going to grab me around my throat, so I shot him. Oh, okay, case dismissed. Of course, maybe that's not true in other parts of the United States, but I live in hell, where we pray for rain. Oh, never mind. We'll be right back. I'm Mike Malloy.
I'm with the God Squad. Grab your gun. I'm coming to you live from Armageddon. Don't need to be teaching no biology. You'll learn all you need to learn at my ministry. And pay no attention to the slanderous lies. I never had my hand between that young boy's thighs. I'm with the God Squad, so listen good. Hear my battle cry down in Hollywood. I'm with the God Squad, there's no place to run. I'm paving the way.
I think God's will has to be done in unifying people and companies to get that gas line built. So pray for that, and we can work together to make sure God's will be done here.
He went to fight wars for his country and his king, of his honor and his glory. The people sing.
Ooh, what a lucky man he was.
10 before the hour. God, there's a blast from the past. Jeanette writes, Hi Mike, I'm a new listener to your show. I find it very difficult to listen for longer than an hour or so. The problem is that I agree with just about everything you say, and my little brain tries to make sense out of all the craziness and bizarro things going on in the world and the government. Yes, the religious right, also known as the Armageddonites, have hijacked our country, the world, and are only too eager to push that end day button and bring this world to an end. Would someone please wake me from this effing nightmare? Thanks for your twisted and true sense of humor, Jeanette. Thank you for tuning in, Jeanette. We just need to laugh. Ha, 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 Marjorie Cohn, writing at Truth Out, talks about John McCain's selection of Sarah Palin and how it's invigorated a lackluster campaign. The media can't stop talking about her. Given McCain's age and state of health, you know his medical file was nearly 1,200 pages long? 1,200 pages? What is that? What does that mean, Kathy? What does that mean, 1,200 pages in a medical file? You know, I get my physical every 6 months, and what is it, one, two, maybe?
Well, part of that, I mean, does it go all the way back to his birth? Because some of that was probably parchment.
1,200-page medical report. So, yeah, Palin indeed is going to be a heartbeat away from becoming president if these two, this gruesome twosome is elected. But as Marjorie Cohn writes, what would a Palin administration really look like? She's a radical right-wing fundamentalist Christian who would love to create a theocracy. She believes we are living in the end times, which will result in a bloody inferno from which only the true Christians will be saved. Palin recently attended a service in her Wasilla Bible Church run by David Brickner, who runs Jews for Jesus, a group the Anti-Defamation League criticizes for its, quote, aggressive and deceptive, end quote, proselytizing of Jews. Those who don't accept Jesus as their Savior were burned in hell, according to Palin's brand of theology. Well, Palin's brand, all Christianity believes that. As governor of Alaska, Palin asked her congregation to pray for the natural gas pipeline, which she characterized as God's will. She thinks that war in Iraq is a task from God. She has pushed for creationism to be taught in the schools, and she opposes stem cell research, yada, 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 yada. McCain would also love to inject a heavy dose of Christianity into his administration. A year ago, he declared, quote, the Constitution established the United States of America as a Christian nation, end quote. McCain said that. McCain said that. This is why, among other reasons, that it is absolutely necessary for people to make sure that Barack Obama is elected president. You know it as well as I do. You know it as well as I do. The chairman of the Republican Party in Macomb County, Michigan, a key swing county and a key swing state, is planning to use a list of foreclosed homes to block people from voting in the upcoming election as part of that state's Republican Party's effort to remove people from the voting lists. These dirty bastards. James Carabelli told the Michigan Messenger, a center for independent media, in a telephone interview earlier this week, quote, we will have a list of foreclosed homes and we'll make sure people aren't voting from those addresses. He said the local Republican Party wanted to make sure that proper electoral procedures were followed. State election rules in Michigan allow parties to assign so-called election challengers to polls to monitor the election. You know, over here at the, not far from where we live and produce this program, we go to, it's a Baptist church, isn't it, that we go to? That's where we go to vote. That's where our precinct polling place is, in a Baptist church not far from here. And it happens to be predominantly African-American Baptist church. And the poll workers who are in there are usually a combination of black and white. They're usually older people, as most poll workers are. But, Kathy, can you imagine what would happen? Who would substitute on the program if you and I went to vote, as we do every election, and somebody tried to challenge me? Who would you get Sam Cedar to fill in for me while I was in jail?
I thought you were going to say in the hospital.
No, I wouldn't be in the hospital. I would definitely be in jail. Maybe in a hospital. I don't know. Do they put you in a hospital when they taser and tear gas you? I don't know. Oh, do they? Oh, okay. But a Republican poll worker or Republican, what do they call them, election challenger, who got in my face about whether or not I was going to vote. Oh, son of a bitch. That would be horrible. It really would be. Now, our good friend Peter Werby, who lives in Detroit, can you imagine somebody walking up to Peter Werby and challenging him? Huh? Mr. Werby, can I see your... Let me show me some proof here. Pew, bang, bow, biff, bap. We'll be back after the break and take some of your phone calls, so stick around. My name is Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio. Seven past the hour. This is Nova M Radio. I'm Mike Malloy. One email, and then we're coming to your phone calls. Do we have any open lines, Kathy? Or is... Oh, yes, we do. All right. Well, the phone number here is 800-989-1480. 800-989-1480. This is one of those unsigned emails. I see who it's sent from, but it's not a name. This is what it says. This is such a strange time. Tomorrow morning, my son and I become homeless. What a weird concept. I am smart, well-educated, well-traveled, an unorthodox mom, but a good one. I've worked hard my whole life. I like work, and here I am. Tomorrow morning, I put the last of my things in my late-model car and drive to nowhere. There is something poetic about this happening on 9/11. Pre-9/11, I was living in New York, making $125,000 a year. My son was in Montessori. I had a great apartment. I was hip, cute, and totally on it. I lost my job, no reason, just cutbacks. They only kept staff that would work lots of overtime. There was a citywide hiring freeze, and so on and so on and so on. I look back on this anniversary and realize that I've been hanging on by my fingernails ever since. It took 7 years. My fingers are bloody, and I finally slipped. The untold 9/11 stories. I wonder if I'm alone. Am I the only one falling? What are the others doing? I've cut back to a very simple lifestyle, and I like it. The lesson is the positive outcome from all of this. But now even the simplest lifestyle seems out of reach. I don't know why I'm telling you this, maybe because your show is my guilty pleasure, and this is my confession. Somehow writing it makes it real. Phone calls. Well, no, we'll wait a second as we get some up on the board here. The Pakistan thing, there's a follow-up to this Pakistan story, and that is according to the latest reports, the U.S. and the Pakistan, the U.S. military and the Pakistan military are damn near on the verge of open warfare. The I mean, how do you justify invading somebody else's country? And not even saying, hey, listen, we are in pursuit of people we consider to be criminals, even though we have made it very clear to the entire goddamn world that we have caught the mastermind of 9/11, Sheikh Khalid Mohammed. We have him. He's on trial. We have decimated. We have killed the number two leader of Al-Qaeda 15 or 20 times. We've captured all these people. We have hundreds in prisons around the planet. But we're still going to invade your country, Mr. and Mrs. Pakistan, because we just feel like it. I mean, every time we try to get some more Taliban, God damn it, we do it again. We bomb some place where 90 children are murdered, and then we get all this bad publicity. We're sick of this. So I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to make a bad, horrific situation badder and more horrific. We are going to invade yet another country. Jesus Christ, will this ever stop? This is like Japan in the 30s. That's what we're doing. Or Germany in the 30s. Show me some place I can invade. Now the Russians are sending what amounts to, this is not absolutely definitive, but what amounts to full battle groups of naval and air power to Venezuela to protect Venezuela. And also to stick a sharp stick into the eye of the United States that tried everything it could to devour Russia after the Soviet Union broke apart.
I'm just curious, what happens when Pakistan and Russia and Venezuela all decide they've had enough and start attacking? What troops do we send in? Do we have Coast Guard, National Guard, anybody with any limbs left or sanity or anything? You know, Bueller, anybody? What do we got?
I don't know. We better get rid of the Bush crime family. We better get I'm not comfortable saying this. I really am not. But we better get the Obama administration in there quickly. John McCain, who has literally sold whatever remains of his ruptured soul to these devils who constitute the Christian fanatics in this country, who make the Islamic fanatics almost look like toys.
And we better get Sarah to get busy in there and pop out some more Palins, because we're going to need Drack and Trig and Twig and Willow and Branch and Brick and Brock and all of them that she can produce, and tattoo the Jesus fish on their feet and get them over here defending America, because that's what we're going to need. She wants Armageddon, baby. It starts at home.
No. Sarah and her brood won't rapture. They will rapture up into the clouds and then escape, because nuclear radiation only goes so high.
Well, she better put a moose hat on Jesus and bring him back then, because when the Russians come with Hugo Chavez and the Pakistanis, it's going to be scary.
Okay.
And we're going to need them all here.
All right,
I want Alaska as a place of destiny, Mike. It's the head of the snake, not the tail, and we need it right here with that pipeline right here in America.
Let me get you a glass of wine.
God bless us, everyone.
Oh. Okay. I'm not sure what to do at this point. I'm really not. All right, let's talk with Greg, who is calling from Danville, California, listening on XM. Hey, Greg.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
Oh, I'm just great. How are you?
Good. Well, I was a long-time listener, and I just tuned in, and I know I'm a little behind the whole Chavez thing with the announcement with the radio, but when you mentioned Allende, it just unusual, because Allende was overthrown on September 11th, 1973.
Right.
And then Chavez makes this big announcement on September 11th, 2008, with
right.
all the undertones of being overthrown.
Yeah.
it just kind of hit me and wanted to call in and just kind of bring that out and see, you know, what do you think is going to happen?
You know, I don't dare think about it. Greg, let me answer you on the air because the connection is not all that good. I'm not sure what to think. I do know that Cheney and Bush and members of the Bush crime family are hell-bent and have been hell-bent to take this country into completely obliterate the United States. I don't know what their motives are. I really don't. They have ruined our military. I mean, just absolutely destroyed it. They've destroyed our economy. They have absolutely destroyed whatever reputation we had as maybe, perhaps, possibly being a place where people still believed in freedom and justice and honor and dignity. I'm sure there were some people around the planet who believed that. So I don't know. I don't know what to make of all of this. All these revelations now, pardon the use of that word, trying to provoke war with Pakistan, trying to provoke war with Iran, trying to provoke war with Venezuela. These murderous sons of bitches want war in just about every corner of the planet. So, no, I don't know what's going on.
Now, how many people must get killed?
Oil families' pockets to get filled.
How many oil?
Johnny wants a brain. Johnny wants to suck on the coke. Johnny wants a woman. Johnny wants to think of a joke.
It is the calling of our time to rid the world of terror. That's our calling. It's the calling of the 21st century, and it's a calling that we will not tire for. It's a calling that we will keep in our minds.
My God.
I'm afraid of America.
21 past the hour. I think the example for the rest of the world is that really insane people can get into positions of just unimaginable power in countries that are predominantly white, you know, white leaders. We're so used to seeing people of color being crazed and out of their minds and leading their countries into utter and absolute destruction, chaos, civil wars, murder, cannibalism, violence, and you know, the list of those countries is fairly long, whether it is the countries in Central Asia, countries in Southeast Asia, countries in Africa, but it's always been them, you know, and the rest of the world could look at them and say, well, the English-speaking world, the real white people, will never do anything. They will not allow their country to be run by people who are insane. Who are definitively insane, by definition, clinically mad. You know, the white, the European-run countries, European-American, European-European, whatever. You know, it couldn't happen because, you know, white people are blessed by God, and Jesus was white. God, obviously, is white. So it would never happen. And then along comes this crazed, half-witted son of a bitch who's been in the Oval Office for 8 years, and now, hot on his heels, comes this John McCain and his dog, Sarah, who is an Armageddonist that would make Falwell spin in his grave. I'm sure Falwell is just, you know, just bouncing up and down inside his coffin right now. Let me out of here! Let me out of here! I want to see this woman! Let me out of here! Let me out of here! Help! Let me out! Let me out! Help! God damn it! Help!
I need to get out of here. I've been talking about this for 40 years. This little bitch is going to get all the credit. Let me out. Hello? Oh, damn. I would have had to die, didn't I? Jesus, God. Let me out.
Just have some Nembutal handy. Have a lot of Nembutal handy. And some canned tuna. No, we can't do canned tuna anymore, can we? It's all full of mercury. You don't want to eat a bunch of mercury-laden food when you're about to be vaporized by nuclear war. So, all right, canned beans? What? I don't know anymore. Dinty Moore stew? I have no idea.
Rice is so expensive now.
You can't do rice. How much Jack Black do we have up in the hiding place, the liquor hiding place? Have I got 5-6 gallons up there? All right, to your phone calls, as promised. Prez is calling from Santa Rosa, California, listening on the internet. Hey, Prez.
Hey, Mike. It's been a while there, my friend.
Yeah, I know. Where you been?
Oh, I've been skimping by lately.
Okay, well.
Suffering in the healthcare world, but anyway. I wanted to tell you first, Mike, before I get to two quick points about Sarah Palinolithic, I call her.
Oh, yeah?
First, listening to you, my friend, is like a killer blues song. You uplift me and make me so happy while I'm weeping. It's just beautiful.
Yeah, right.
I'm telling you, man, it's perfect. It's like a perfect blues song.
Oh, well, thank you.
Which is the best music there is.
Yeah,
know, country.
Yeah, that's high praise. Thank you.
You're welcome. And tell Kathy I love the bumper music. I just really love it. And she does a great job.
She's another thing. Yeah, she's listening and she's beaming. So
good. I have a 4-year-old granddaughter, so I kind of know what you feel like.
Oh.
And there is some hope, isn't there, for God's sake?
I hope there's hope.
Hey, listen, I want to make a couple of quick comments about Sarah Palinolithic.
Okay.
First one is, we're not electing a preacher, a pope, a daddy, or our mommy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And plus, I'm not being completely sarcastic when I say that I kind of welcome the rapture. And you know why?
Why?
Think of all the nice clothing and stuff those people are going to leave behind.
And jewelry.
All their We can sell the jewelry.
Oh, man. I'm thinking about all those gold bracelets that are going to come plunging out of the clouds. And diamond rings and stuff. Woo!
And I can see I saw a good T-shirt today on some construction guy. Well, anyway, you know what Arnold Schwarzenegger proudly drives?
No, I don't.
Well, you know, he has a fleet of them.
Oh.
Big things.
Oh, the Hummers.
Yeah. Well, I didn't want to say it because the T-shirt said, if I want one of those, I'll call your sister.
You're terrible.
All right.
We're out of time, Prez.
Thanks, Mike.
All right, appreciate you checking in.
Okay, buddy.
All right, take care.
Right,
we'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
For you, I come home, I'll bring your friendship free.
Thanks, but no thanks on that bridge to nowhere.
It's about 26 before the hour. Beth writes in, Mike, there's a very dark fraud occurring under the radar across the country and here in Minnesota for the first time. Mail fraud in the form of caging is happening en masse. The McCain campaign and other Republican groups are sending applications for absentee ballots to many of us Democrats, sometimes several mailings sent from several Republican sources over several days, go to the same address. I heard about this while listening to a local Air America radio program taking area callers. Several callers said the same thing happened to them. A half a dozen emails described the same situation. I went to a Democratic phone calling event this evening and talked to a woman whose college son received the same letter in the mail. The upshot of all this, of course, is that if the forms aren't signed and returned to the Republican source, the Republican criminals will officially file challenges to these voters' eligibility. Minnesotans are being urged not to return these forms, and our liberal Secretary of State will investigate this fraud. Minnesota has same-day registration, which should make it a lot easier for voters to overcome any illegal Republican challenges. One local caller mentioned that the substitute host for Tom Hartman devoted the entire program to this subject today, though I didn't hear it myself. Smell a little desperation in the air? Beth. More than desperation. What you're describing is happening as far as I have heard. I wouldn't be surprised if it's happening in all 50 states, but it's happening all over the country. And I think it shows why we are so close to what Thomas Jefferson said should happen every once in a while to nourish the tree of liberty. Republicans really deserve to be rounded up and their voting rights taken away, and if possible, send them someplace where they can do their prayers and have sex with each other and do whatever they do, play with their guns, deny abortions and, you know, lust after gay folk while they demean them and demonize them. They need to be isolated. Republicans need to be gotten out of this society. They need to be gotten out by just, I don't know, maybe we could rent one of the less populated provinces in Canada. Oh, I can just see the emails I'm going to get for saying that. Or is there an island someplace that these rat bastards could be sent to? Remember the picture of the crazed Republican congressional operatives who were pounding on doors and windows in Palm Beach. Was it Palm Beach County when the county registrars were trying to count the votes in the 2000 election? And it's only gotten worse since then. The people who volunteered to go down there, the Republicans who volunteered to go down and act like crazed Nazis, were well rewarded. They were given positions in the Bush crime family, civil service jobs. They're deeply embedded in the government. It really has gotten to this point. We are in a critical do-or-die stage for this republic or this country. I hate to even use the word republic in that context. For this country, and I think Republicans need to be eliminated. They must be eliminated, neutralized. Their chicanery and deviousness and the evil that they spread like gas. It needs to stop. It just needs to stop. These are not Americans. They are not respecters of freedom or democracy or representative government. They are evil. They're deeply evil. They are evil so deep into their bones that there is no room for anything, not even their DNA that's been pushed out. The only thing left is evil. They need to be removed from this country. They just have to be. Lane is calling from Mesa, Arizona, listening on Sirius. Hey, Lane, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike.
How are you?
First time caller. Good, good. Really enjoy the show, sir. Wanted to comment on this church that Sarah goes to.
Yeah.
I understand that they believe in raising an army of children.
They do indeed.
Yeah. So Kathy was asking where we're going to get, more soldiers. And I guess we need to look a little bit younger, I don't know how far back they go. I guess in Africa they start them out at about 8, so that really gives us something to look forward to. You know, our children being drafted.
Yeah, crazy people exist in every society, in every culture, in every racial group, and here in white America, we've managed to keep the crazy people in the business world, in the corporate world, and to a great extent, for most of our history, keep them out of government. But that's changed now because the corporations run the country. We don't have a class of citizens now who run for public office. We have a class of citizens, for the most part, who are backed by corporate America, financed by corporate America, and owe their whatever they wind up with to corporate America. And of course, a part of that includes what you're talking about, is raising an army of children, making sure that they understand, just like the crazed Islamists understand, that they're killing for God. In this case, they're killing for the Christian God, which is the same as the Islamic God, but, you know, why, you know.
Yeah, it's all BS. But, you know, you would think even the corporations, you know, would come to the understanding that such a dangerous person in the White House could cost them, you know, could cost them a lot of money, you know, if you blow up a city or two.
Well, once
there goes the profit.
Right.
You know, where's the profit in it?
Well, once she's in the White House, they will make sure that she doesn't do that. They will make sure that McCain doesn't do that. They will make sure that that the wars are non-nuclear. They are regional rather than global. Mostly they'll be limited to one or two states. That is the plan of corporate America. But, you know, sometimes plans go to hell. You know, the road to perdition is paved with good intentions, and whatever the intention, by good I mean good for the corporations, whatever their intentions are, there's also that realm of unintended consequences. And I think George Bush demonstrates that. You know, they promoted Bush to attack Iraq for the oil, but this crazy bastard also screwed up the war in Afghanistan, which every great power has screwed up. Nobody wins in Afghanistan. He's attacking Pakistan. He wants to go after Iran. He's been trying to overthrow Venezuela. He would like to get Castro before Castro dies. So corporate America, the leash slipped out of their hands. And I don't think they planned on a psychopath like Dick Cheney. So, as far as lizard lips is concerned, lipstick lady, if she gets to the White House as the vice president or president, they'll keep her on a leash, but it may be too late. It just may be too late. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you know, she's wacko, and you can't control wacko real easy, you know.
No, you can't. You can't. You can't. Yeah. You can't control someone as crazy as she is under any circumstances. You can have the illusion of control, but that's about it. Thanks, Lane. I appreciate you checking in. Greg is calling from Boston, listening on the internet. Hey, Greg.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
I'm all right. How are you?
Good. Thanks for renewing my faith in humanity, keeping me going here, man.
Oh, sure. I did it, and I did it all before dinner time, right?
Right. Well, listen, the reason that I'm calling is because, you know, I read something earlier today about, I was reading online about how Lincoln Chafee, he's a former, as you may recall, he's a former Republican senator from Rhode Island.
Right.
And he made mention of the fact that he referred to Governor Palin as a cocky wacko, and I thought that that was really rather striking, and it kind of hit me as like saying like if the McCain Palin ticket were to get into office, how would if he, they can't reach they really have a hard they're going to have a hard time reaching across the aisle to Democrats if they can't even keep people who were Republicans or now this guy's now independent. You know, they're going to have a hard time reaching across, you know, going anywhere with you know, trying to bring people together. And it struck me like, you know, because in contrast, you see Barack Obama, and his whole message has been fairly consistent. He's been wanting to, you know, reach out to everybody, to independents, to libertarians, to Democrats, to Republicans, anybody who's out there, socialists. He wants to reach out and say, I want to work with you. Mm-hmm. I want to get you involved because this is our nation and we have a government to fix here.
But you know, Greg, that the goal of Republicans is never, never, ever to reach out to anybody. The Republican Party in its current state is nothing but a party of crazed religious freaks. And they may say, as McCain is, oh, yeah, we're going to reach out. We're going to get rid of the bipartisanship. That is just one more in their great series of lies. They are liars. Absolutely.
Their father's hell did slowly go by and feed them on your dreams. The one they fix, the one you know.
Before the hour, thanks to our crew, K-R-E-W-E, our crew, Ian Huff, Billy Foster, Ben Burt, Sharon Gordy, Bob Alexander, Bridget Wolf, and our executive producer, Catherine Bay. There was one more question that Charlie Gibson had for Sarah Palin tonight, and because the question was a little difficult, I think it was Charlie Gibson's assistant who asked the question of Ms. Palin.
Okay. Recent polls have shown a fifth of Americans can't locate the U.S. on a world map. Why do you think this is?
I personally believe that U.S. Americans are unable to do so because some people out there in our nation don't have maps, and I believe that our education, like such as in South Africa and the Iraq, everywhere like such as, and I believe that they should, our education over here in the U.S. should help the U.S. Or should help South Africa and should help the Iraq and the Asian countries, so we will be able to build up our future for our children.
Thank you very much, South Carolina.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. David is calling from Chicago, listening on Sirius. Hey, David.
Hi, Mike.
Hey.
Two things for you. One real quick is just to give people perspective of how far away Alaska is from the continental U.S.
Uh-huh.
I was up in Seattle. I drive over the road. And I was taking a load from Seattle down to Dallas.
Uh-huh.
And it was about 3,000 miles or something in that, around in that.
Mm-hmm.
But I decided to put in the computer from Seattle to Anchorage. And it was as far to Anchorage from Seattle as it was all the way down to Dallas.
Well, I think, personally, I think Alaska should be an independent country, you know. Don't you?
Well, then we wouldn't have to worry about Ms. Palin now, would we?
Well, she could be president or whatever, exalted leader or dear leader. You know, that's what the Alaska Independent Party is all about. You know, just secede and form your own country, make treaties with Russia. I'm sure Russia would love to establish a military base in Alaska. I'm sure Sarah Palin would do that. She's a, you know, running dog trader. So, all right. But, thanks, David.
The main point of my call real quick was,
yeah,
I was driving through the middle of Wisconsin yesterday.
Yeah.
And I passed a new campaign office for McCain. And outside, they had a sign for him that was about 4 foot, you know, by about 3 foot or something like that.
Uh-huh.
His name, you know, predominant in the middle of the sign.
Right.
And then all the way up in the upper right-hand corner was Palin's name.
Oh, yeah?
You could barely even see it.
Well.
And I was like, this is what he thinks of his running mate?
You know, you never know. Republicans are such fun-loving people, David. It may have been some kind of a joke that people like you and I just can't completely understand. I don't know. David, thanks. Appreciate you checking in. Jerry is calling from New York City, listening on the internet. Hey, Jerry.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm all right. How are you?
Okay, great. Is this Mike?
Yes, it is.
Mike, how you doing? Two quick comments. One about Iraq. I mean, they basically, it's a scam, but they made $600 billion for their own corporations running the war.
Yeah.
The other thing was, which hasn't been exposed in the press, is that they used 20,000 tons of depleted uranium with a half-life of 4.2 billion years.
Yeah.
Over Baghdad, turning that into the equivalent of Chernobyl,
right.
And they're talking about having a political or political solution in the arena, where there's none. There's no possibility of it. They've made the area biologically uninhabitable.
Well, but have you heard about the huge Ferris wheel they want to build in Baghdad? I kid you not.
Yeah, but they're going to get paid up front, and then the taxpayers are going to have to carry the burden of it. They don't care what they construct over there.
Right.
They get their money first, and the taxpayers get burdened with it. This is the Bush crime family.
What's the half life of depleted uranium, which is plutonium? No, it's depleted.
Yeah, no, depleted uranium, which they're using the shells,
right, 30 right.
millimeter shells.
Oh yeah. Oh, believe me, I know what it is. What's the half life? Yeah. 4.5 billion years.
4.2 billion years.
Well, that can't be anything. I mean, that's got to be impossible. The entire universe is less than 6,000 years old. You know that, don't you?
Yes, I know.
Yeah.
Well, that's right. I forgot. Well, then we'll have to wait for the rapture. We'll have to tune in after the rapture and find out. There's some other stuff they're doing also. I wrote a book on microwave radiation, the health effects it's producing.
Yeah.
And they're directly complicit with that. It's called Would You Stick Your Head in the Microwave? They're basically with the healthcare system. Huh?
No, I'm just laughing. Would you stick your head in a microwave?
Yeah, you could look it up. I'd be very happy to share the information with you.
You wrote a book?
Yeah, I wrote a book on it. I'm a doctor, and I've been
involved. And it's called, and the title is, Would You Stick Your Head in a Microwave?
Would you put your head in a microwave oven?
Holy God in heaven, would you? No, I wouldn't.
No, of course not. But there's the thing is that a lot of the illnesses that are being promoted, it's
right.
promoting a lot of the cancers, which is a win-win situation for the pharmaceutical industry.
I have no doubt. Hey, I'll tell you what, Jerry, we're out of time. Send me a link, mike@mikemalloy.com.
Is there some way to contact you? Let me give you my email. You can look at my articles and get back
no,
to
don't,
me.
No, don't do it over the air. Send me an email to mike@mikemalloy.com that lists your writings and how to get in touch with you. We'll talk again. I'm out of time, Jerry. I got to leave there. Thanks, pal. mike@mikemalloy.com. All right. I'm sorry for the people we're leaving on hold. Forgive me, for I've sinned. I'll see you tomorrow night, Truth Seekers, okay? Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio.